I think a lot of my problems in my own psychology come from protecting the wrong thing too much. Protecting the right thing not enough. I don't mind admitting that I'm defensive. I was telling a story the other day. Somebody asked me, are you confrontational? I was like, oh, let me tell you. We were going to this one guy who one time was telling me, pastors ought to do this and pastors ought to, you were there, but I'm not going to say his name, obviously, on camera. You could probably figure it out if you thought about it. He goes, pastors ought to this and pastors ought to that and pastors ought to that. And the thing is, he wasn't doing anything that he said pastors ought to do. So I said, hey, real quick, show me the scripture. This is my Bible. Maybe you got a different one where it says that there's a different standard for a pastor than a regular person. Now, don't cheer for that. That's stuff that God needs to get out of my heart. What's wrong with y'all? This is a confession, not a testimony. And but I'm defensive, right? I'm defensive. I sometimes protect my opinion, my preference. Let me give you a scripture that Paul said, and I just had this one right before I got up on the stage. He says, and remember, Paul is writing this scripture in 2 Timothy 2. At pretty much the time where his ministry is about to close. It's quite possibly right at the same time after the shipwreck, but he's writing this letter to Timothy. And this is why I told you to protect the vessel. Paul says in 2 Timothy 2:20, do you have it in the King James? Yeah, cool. I wanted to use the King James because of one specific word. He says, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. Listen to this. If a man therefore purge himself from these things, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, prepared for every good work. If he purges himself from these, he shall be a vessel that God can use. And I was excited. Now, don't worry about it, because I got a case for my phone. So it's fine. It's fine. It's. You got a case for your phone? I think the cockiest people in the world don't put a case on their phone. You mean you are that together? And that's sure of yourself. And did you hear how they gasped when my phone flew out of my hand? I practiced that 15 times to try to make it believable because I wanted to show you that we have cases to protect our phones. How much was your phone? $500, $700, $300? We have a case for our phone, which you can get another one of. But they don't make a case for your soul, for your heart, for your faith, for your expectation. And you can still use a phone with a cracked screen. It'll still work. But when the Lord started speaking to me about this message, he said, tell them that they are spending more time protecting things that can be replaced. I want to use an example because Paul says to Timothy, these things, protect yourself from these things. You know what the things he mentions are? You can look it up. He's talking about false teaching. He said it spreads like gangrene. That's disgusting. He said you got to really protect yourself from those things. You got to protect yourself. One thing he calls it is godless chatter. And see, this is the thing about it. I didn't know Paul had Twitter till I read him say, protect yourself from godless chatter. Man, he said in one thing, he said, avoid, this is the same passage, 2 Timothy 2. Look it up later and check me out. See if I'm telling you the truth. It says, avoid stupid arguments. Avoid stupid arguments. And the reason that I chose to go off of Acts 28 today, talking about protect the vessel, is because even though the boat that was carrying Paul broke into pieces, it really wasn't as important what was carrying Paul as it was what Paul was carrying. There's a couple ships in the passage. One of them is nautical. One of them does what boats do. But the other vessel in the passage, of course, is the Apostle Paul, who was going to Rome because he had a case, double meaning, right, to stand before Caesar for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so as he's on his way to Rome, of course, there's a shipwreck. I've preached about this before. It's an amazing story. We don't have time for it today. But there's something in this passage for us to realize that there's something that happens after Paul survives the crash that is even more important than what caused the crash to begin with. I spend a lot of my mental energy trying to figure out why things are the way they are. And a lot of times I can come to conclusions that aren't necessarily accurate. I've noticed this about myself, that a lot of times I connect things and I think that the reason this happened is because that happened, right? Now, I wouldn't consider myself prone to self-pity necessarily, but I do have my moments. And even Paul did. As a matter of fact, when he was in the storm, let me just bring this up to refresh your memory, and it became apparent that there was going to be a crash. He tells all the people that are in charge of the ship, the other prisoners, in verse 21, men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourself this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost, only the ship will be destroyed, right? Which vessel is God interested in protecting? Read the passage again. He says, you have got to keep your courage even in the midst of really horrible conditions, because the important vessel isn't the one that carried you. The most important vessel or the most important container isn't something that carries you. It is the heart that God has given you, the calling, the assignment, the gift, the ability, the imagination that God has given you to carry something to the world. Now, we're not all Paul, so we're not all carrying what he's carrying. But the significance of this story would apply to anybody in the room. I promise you there is something that you are carrying that only you can carry. I don't know if you see yourself this way or not, but it's like Paul knew that whatever happens to the boat that I'm in, there is something in me that is more significant to God. So whatever is breaking apart in your life at any given point in time is not as important as what God has put on the inside of you. So protect the vessel. Protect the vessel. Don't put a case on your phone, but then use the same phone to expose your heart. Do y'all want me to preach? I can read a poem and go home. I already got the revelation. As a matter of fact, please do not email me about this. I barely even open email, so it would be pointless. I heard one person one time who talked about how they eat clean, eat clean, eat clean, eat clean, and all of that. And granted, I have my own certain way that I eat, and I am very, very picky, and I am very, very, I guess, disciplined in my own way. But the only thing is, I get to eat unlimited bacon on the eating lifestyle that I have chosen, that God has given me, and he foreordained through Dr. Atkins. Now, don't email me. I'm not going to read it. But the person that was eating clean, they didn't eat this, they didn't eat that. We went to the thing, they had bean sprouts, and all that's what I remember, is they were just eating. But what I remember is they were saying all this stuff. They were like, because if you eat this, you get killed with that. And then if you eat fish, then you have mercury poisoning. And then if you don't eat fish, so I sat there and I thought, huh, this is funny. Because it was an example to me of, you are so careful about what you will put in your body. And it's great. It's great. Study it all. I know. You know science. That's great. But it wasn't coming from just a place of wisdom. It was all fear-based. And I read this study, and I saw this, and I Googled this disease, and I YouTube that disease, and all this stuff. And I thought, it's funny, because you eat clean, but you think crap. This is what I thought. I didn't say this. You eat clean, but you think crap. So you live long, but you hate life. You are protecting the shed, but you're not maintaining the equipment. You're managing your profile, your image, your appearance, this physical body. It's gonna break. Take care of it. But the real vessel has nothing to do with anything that can be counted in calories or carbohydrates. That's why Paul says, let go of the boat and keep up your courage. It's okay. I got a case. It's all right. It's all right. And then they get to the island. And Paul's like, I told you. I told you God was good. This is my testimony. Singing worship songs and stuff. Jireh. He had the pirate, the bootleg YouTube version. He had learned it a long time ago. But he said, here, let me help, because these islanders are being nice. So he's like, I don't want to just sit over here and not help. If you're nice enough to build a fire, I'm nice enough to help. And just to read the scripture again, you remember this, Mike, when I preached it 2017, because this is so good, but you remember it. But he said, here, let me help. And when he was putting the wood on the fire, verse 3, a viper driven out by the heat fastened itself on his hand. Everybody say on his hand.
On his hand.
A viper fastened itself on his hand. So, have you ever been trying to help somebody, and in the process of helping, you got hurt? This is one of the main things you've got to look out for, because I've been in the process before where I thought I was doing something good. I didn't see you there. It's good to see you. It's awesome, because he's like only trying to be useful, right? And he gets bit by a snake. So at this point, when I was reading the scripture, I had to stop and ask the question, why did the snake bite Paul? I'm gonna see what you think about it. You're not gonna just sit there and make me do all the work. Put it in the chat. Why did the snake bite Paul? On three. One, two, three. I don't know what they're saying online, but are y'all speaking in tongues? Is this the Tower of Babel? What happened at Elevation Church? It was the devil. That's how the devil is. He's always picking on Paul at his weakest moment, wants to take him out so he can't preach. This is the devil, right? The devil is the snake. Genesis 3, the serpent, the symbolism, Revelations with an S. And so I'm like, maybe it was the devil. A snake bite. I guess that's the devil. That's the snake. No, it was God. It was God that let the snake bite Paul. Because everything happens for a reason. That's why you're, you know, people will say it. That's why you went through this, you're single, because the Lord is preparing your ship in the harbor, right? Like, shut up. I want somebody to watch Netflix with. Shut up. It was God. It was God that let that snake bite Paul, because well, then Paul got to show that that snake can't hurt me. God is greater than the snake, you know? Put graves into gardens, you know? Right. And so it was God. But it's not that deep, y'all. It says it in the text. It's crazy how many somersaults we will do just to get around what the text actually said. It says the viper was driven out by the heat. It was nothing but a natural consequence of the fire. But watch what everybody was so quick to do. What is all that? I don't know what's going on up there. Watch what God wanted me to show you. While Paul has got a snake hanging from his hand. This is unbelievable. I can't believe this. This reminds me of church people. Everybody's standing around talking about why he's got a snake on his hand. Did you see it in the text? I don't hate these kind of people. These kind of people get on my nerves. Well, that's why you're going through that, because, you know, if you would have raised your kids on the books that I read, then your kids wouldn't be struggling with this. Well, when I raised my kids, we had prayer times at 8:30 for Matthew 8:30. I don't even know what Matthew 8:30 says. And we would sit around, and if you would train them up, that would have been. Now, it says that the islanders were kind. They built a fire. These were not evil people, even though they were strange people. But something in even the nicest human heart has a tendency to want to do this. In the scripture, it says that while a snake was hanging from Paul's hand, while a snake was hanging from the man of God's hand, while he was, this could have killed him. Verse 5. No, verse 4. Because we will never get to verse 5 if Paul would have listened to what they said in verse 4. This could have killed Paul. This. When the islanders saw the snake, they said, "This man must be a murderer." Now, they are interpreting his identity through the lens of an event. If this is happening, then you must be this man. The pointer finger. The pointer finger. It's like the logo for a lot of Christianity. Those people. That lifestyle. This man, if he was a good man, he wouldn't be going through this. If you had not wasted that season of your life, then God could have blessed you like that. If you would have listened, if you would have been in church, if you would have da 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 da. I never saw any power released through a pointing finger. Wow. Personally, I never saw it. When you read in the Bible, you read a lot about the hand of God, much more than the finger of God. This kills. This kills. This heals.
Hey, thank you for watching. Make sure you subscribe to this channel so you don't miss a single video or live stream. And share this video with a friend. And don't forget, you can join me live every Sunday. Thanks again for watching.